Well, good morning, Center Point Church. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris Lessig, and I am one of the pastors here at Center Point Church. And I have the privilege of joining the preaching team this summer as we continue on in our sermon series, Wisdom for Today. I'm thankful to be part of the team and to get ready to prepare to proclaim God's message to you. Now, in case you've missed the last couple of weeks, just by way of reminder, I want to bring you up to speed. 2 weeks ago, Steve kicked off the sermon series from the book of Ecclesiastes, and he told us that a wise person accepts the limitations of this life and also fully enjoys God's good gifts. And then last week, we had Andy's sermon from the book of Proverbs, and Andy told us that last week that a wise person walks in integrity. A wise person walks in integrity. Well, this morning we're going to see that a wise person praises God for his majesty. A wise person praises God for his majesty. Pray with me. Father God, as we have sung this morning, you are so good. Your name is majestic. Father, as we look at your word this morning, I pray that your spirit would come, and that it would just transform our hearts, and that it would grow us. Father, open the eyes of our heart to see you more clearly, to see your glory all around that you display every single day. Lord, be with us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'd like to begin by showing you all a quick video. And before we watch it, I want to orient you to this video. This is a clip of the NCAA Men's Final Four basketball tournament from 2016, Villanova versus UNC. And as you watch this video, I don't want you to pay so much attention to the last couple seconds of the game, as good as that is. What I want you to focus on is the reaction of the fans to what's about to happen. Let's roll the tape. Man, wasn't that great? Even Charles Barkley was jumping up and down celebrating. Now, let's pretend for a minute that you were a Villanova fan and you got to actually attend that game. Could you imagine, after seeing that shot, not cheering? No high fives? No whistling? No jumping up out of your seat at that last shot? No praising what you just saw? You and I would think that was ridiculous. Absurd, right? Now, I realize in here that not everyone's a sports fan. I understand that, but that's okay. All you have to do is exchange the sports video with whatever your thing is, right? Remember, maybe you're going to your favorite concert to see your favorite singer perform, and if you were told, hey, no clapping, no raising your hands, no singing along with the music, you would think crazy. Or grandparents, imagine going to your grandchild's recital or graduation ceremony and being told that, hey, when it's all done, no pictures, no jumping up and down, no, what a good job, what a good little boy, none of that. You would think that is crazy. We only need to look at Facebook or Twitter or any other kind of social media platform to see that we are hardwired to praise. Praising is wired into our DNA. We are hardwired. Now, if a winning basketball shot like that produces that kind of response in people, how much more should God's accomplishments produce praise and celebration in his people? Let me say that again. If a winning basketball shot like that produces this kind of response in people, how much more should God's accomplishments produce praise and celebration in his people? But if you're like me, I'm suspicious that sometimes we could go days, weeks, or more without praising God. Now, it's Sunday morning, and we all just got done singing some wonderful praise songs, and that's great. But what about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday? See, we need to be reminded that our God is worthy of a much more higher praise than we saw in that video. Whether it's clapping our hands, jumping in excitement, whistle of admiration, or just praising him silently in our heart, our God is worthy of a much higher praise than a basketball shot. Amen?
Amen.
Well, today in Psalm 8, we're going to see three distinct things that God has done that should cause his people to praise him. Three distinct things that God has done that should cause God's people to praise him. If you're not already there, please turn with me to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. And what I'd like to do is I'll read through the entire psalm, and then we'll come back and go through it. Psalm 8 says, verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Wow, there's a lot there. Now, again, we're going to see three distinct things that God has done that should cause God's people to praise him. But before we look at them, let's see David's call to praise here. First part of verse 1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now, notice it's personal. David is saying, O Lord, our Lord. This is our Lord, our God, Yahweh, Adonai. Your name is great. And he's not asking a question. He is saying, it is great. It is great. Great in all the earth. It is. And then we ask, why? Well, why? Well, as I said, we're going to see three distinct things. And the first reason why we should praise the majesty is because he created the heavens and the earth. He says, you have set your glory above the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. In these verses, as David thinks about creation, he's simply amazed at its vastness. Now, I bet that back then, David had no idea what we know now about God's creation with all our advances in science. For instance, did you know that there are over 100 million stars in the Milky Way galaxy alone? 100 million. Psalm 147 says, he determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. Consider this. You can travel at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, and it would take you 8 minutes to get to the sun. But to go from the sun to the center of the Milky Way galaxy would take you about 33,000 years. The Milky Way galaxy belongs to some 20 galaxies known as the Local Group. To cross that group, you'd have to travel 2 million years at the speed of light to cross that. Say what? And beyond that, there's an estimated 100 million galaxies beyond those. It's no wonder that in Psalm 19, David says that the heavens declare the glory of God. Day by day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. God's majesty is on display 24/7. He is showing off constantly. Can we see it? Can we hear it? Simply, wow. God, you are huge. You are magnificent. David says about the moon and the stars that God sets, that he set them in place, and he calls them the work of his fingers. All those stats I just read to you, the work of God's fingers. He set them in place as simply as we may set the dinner table at night. Well, we see that the first reason is because God created the heavens and the earth. Isn't that in itself worthy of praise? Isn't that in and of itself worthy as just as much praise, if not more for sure, than we saw at that basketball shot? But David's not done. See, it doesn't end there. You see, not only should we praise the majestic God because he created the heavens and the earth, the second reason we should praise the majestic God is because God cares for us. He cares for us. Now, I realize that as soon as I say that, some of you are thinking, really? He cares for little old me in Mesquite, Forney, Dallas, Richardson, wherever you live? He cares for little old me? He cares about my life, my finances, my health, my past, my present, my future, my hurts, my worries. Really? Well, we'll see that as David considers this. Let me read this real quick. It says, verse 3 again, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? See, these are rhetorical questions. David is making this huge contrast with this high and lofty God that created all this. And then we see little old me and little old you. And he says, what are we compared to that? And yet, he's not asking if God does care. He says, you do. That's amazing. He does care for us. The demanded response to David's questions, the rhetorical questions he's asking is, we're not much. Compared to that, this big God who Isaiah says accounts the nations as nothing, who measures the waters in the hollow of his hand, the nations of the world are regarded as dust on a scale. What does that say about us? And the fact of the matter is, God is mindful of us. He does care for his children. The word mindful and care together, it signifies this remembering of something or calling something to mind. David is amazed that this huge, majestic God of creation is able to think of him in such a way as to do things for him. It's not just of awareness like, oh, I looked at the news this morning and saw all this stuff going on. Okay, I'm aware of that. No, it's an action based on what is known about this situation. It's so much more than just being knowledgeable. It's aware and interested in. It's a picture of always being attentive to the needs. You know what this is? For you parents out there, it's a baby monitor. And so, you know, I have 3 girls, and when we had a newborn for the first time, we went and got one of these baby monitors. And you know how it is. You go put the baby down at night, right? And you go in there, and the baby, you put the baby down in there, and you set the little transmitter there, and you go in another room and slowly close the door, and then you go into the living room, and maybe the other older kids, and you know, they're doing something different, and they have this, and maybe the TV's on, and what is the mom or the dad doing? Always, always. Hey, turn that TV down. I can't hear the monitor. Hey, stop clanking those dishes around the sink so much. I got to hear this. Right? Always attentive to the needs. Is there, you hear a little, what was that? What, you hear something? Chris, did you hear that? The diaper need to be changed? Always mindful, always caring about what our child, if that is how parents are with the children, that kind of love is displayed with children, how much more is our God like that with you and me, his children? always present, always aware. Consider a few biblical examples. God was mindful of and cared for Elijah when he fed him with a bird. Meat and bread through the means of a bird. Or Daniel in the lion's den. Or in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus explains how even God is aware of insignificant sparrows. There are billions of birds, right? I don't know how many. Some estimates are 200 billion or more, right? And God says, not one of those sparrows falls to the ground apart from God's will. Are you not much more valuable than they? Amazing. God even knows the very number of hairs on our head. Now, that's not saying much for me, but, you know. But he does. I mean, how significant is the number of hairs on your head? Not very much. No one is asking you, hey, how many hairs do you have on your head? No one asks about that, right? But God knows. The most seemingly insignificant details about our life, God is aware. He's there. Let's just look at some ways that God has cared for us this morning. Each one of us in this room has arrived here because God ordained it. Every one of our hearts is beating right now without us giving it a second thought. Did you know our heart pumps about 3,000 gallons of blood every day? God is sustaining us this very second that we're in here. The breath that you and I just took was given us by God. Have we had anything to eat or drink this morning? Maybe a hot cup of coffee? Donut? Pop-Tarts, cereal, toast, whatever. God did that. God did that. Can you hear what David's saying? In light of God's majesty here, his care, his power and majesty, and he actually cares for us. In light of that, our response should be like this in this video that I'm about to show you. And I want to set this one up for you again. It's about a little boy who is in a hospital, about 10 years old, has a severe heart condition. He has to have surgery, and it's a risky surgery. And it's around Christmas time. And the only thing he wanted for Christmas was to meet his famous star, Cam Newton, quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. That's all he wanted. Well, unbeknownst to him, Cam Newton had arranged to come and visit him in the hospital. And when I show this video, I want you to focus very carefully on the boy's response when he sees Cam Newton appear. Let's roll the video. That young boy was speechless. Speechless. Now, you probably didn't notice it, but if you watch the video over again and real closely, when Cam Newton walks in, you see his breath just come out. The kid's chest just, he can't speak. All he could manage to do is throw his arms around Cam Newton. Magnificent Cam Newton, in the boy's mind, that's his God, comes to visit him in the hospital, and it left him speechless. How much more our Almighty God, who daily cares for you and me, how should that leave us? This video is just a glimpse or shadow of what God does for us, his care for you and for me. God cares for us. Isn't that worthy of praise? Doesn't he deserve a hug of praise like that? As if that's not enough, there's still another reason. There's another reason. David has so far shown us two reasons why God's people should praise him. Number one, God created the heavens and the earth. Number two, God cares for us. He cares for you and I. The third reason to praise God is because he's given us important jobs to do. He's given you and me important jobs to do. Read with me. Verse 5. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. Now, if you have the ESV or the NASB, there's a marked contrast there, right? So David is saying, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what's man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him, okay? And then he's this huge, awesome God, and little low me and you, and then there's a yet, despite all this, despite you're huge, you made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. Each and every person in this room that has ever existed has been crowned with glory and honor. John, show this pic for me. Now imagine that your face and my face are up there. That's me and you. That's me and you. When you think about kings or queens, what do? They rule. They rule. Crown for what? It says, verse 6, you made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. Now, this crowning that we saw in verse 5, this crowning with glory and honor, has the aspect of dignity, of prestige, you have honor and glory that God has given to everyone. It stresses the dignity and the splendor that someone has. Simply put, in God's creation, every one of God's children has been given the amazing commission and capacity to rule. I'm here to tell you today that regardless of whatever job or situation you find yourself in, wherever God has placed you, you have been put there and given the ability to rule. Now, I can imagine that many of you don't feel very royal. Maybe you're just saying, I'm just a truck driver. I'm just a maintenance guy. I just go to work, do my job, come home every day, eat dinner, take care of the kids, play outside a little bit, go to bed. Nothing significant. Go up the next day and do it all again. May I suggest that if that's the way that you think about your job or whatever it is that you do, it's because our world's thinking about royalty, prestige, and honor has crept into your thinking. See, our world has categories of jobs that are important jobs and the other ones that are not so important. These jobs stand out, and these jobs, not so much. But in God's economy, his kingdom is an upside-down kingdom, right? It's 180-degree different than the world's status. The way in which God thinks about status and glory and honor is quite different. For example, in Matthew 20, we see two of Jesus' disciples jockeying for position. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and their mother come to Jesus, and Jesus has said, I'm going to be crucified, and then I'm going to come into my kingdom. I'm about to rule. And they're like, oh, man. So she comes with this request. Hey, can my sons sit at your right hand and to your left? Now, you got to understand that to sit to the right or the left of the king is a position of royalty and honor and prestige. And so she, like any of us would want for our kids, I want my sons to have some clout. The other disciples, they knew it. And once they heard about it, they were upset. But how does Jesus respond? He tells them, I want you to be great, but your thinking about greatness is different. It's different. Those who are great among you are servants of all. Referring to himself, Jesus says, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. You see, you and I, we display royalty and honor through service. Serving. Think about it. Every form of employment that exists is some form of service, is it not? Every form. I look around this room alone, and we have all kinds of vocations here. We have teachers, warehouse workers, engineers, chefs, bank tellers, pilots, kids. Maybe you're thinking, well, I don't have a job. Do you do chores? If you do chores, that's what God has assigned you, and that, all that glorifies God. All of that does. Now, don't you be sure, we live in a broken world. We have some crummy bosses. We have people that don't appreciate it. If you work in the service, food service industry, you have customers who don't appreciate you, students who don't appreciate you. If you're a pilot, you have flight attendants who don't appreciate you. You know, yes, we live in a broken world, but nevertheless, all your work and my work is important, regardless of what you are doing. You are royalty. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, that, what does that exclude? Nothing. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is Christ, this is the Lord Christ you are serving. So kids, when you're doing the chores, you're serving God ultimately. Pilots, you're flying for God. Warehouse workers, you work for God. Engineers, you work for God. No matter what it is that you do, stay-at-home moms, I don't want to leave that out. You may not get paid, but you have one of the hardest jobs in the world. Our world may not think that's high and lofty, but God does. Every diaper you change, every floor you clean, every dish you do, God is saying, that a girl, that's my daughter, that a boy, that's my son. You see, we have a tendency, I think, sometimes to live for that clock out moment on Friday, don't we? Preparing for the weekend. Many of us have no problem Friday afternoon praising TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. You heard that before? But what about Monday morning at 8 a.m.? I don't think I've ever heard anybody say TGIM. Now, I realize that's a little unrealistic. However, we should be enthused about the beginning of the work week because God commissions us, his people, to work. David is telling us that what we do today, tomorrow morning, all week long is significant to God. That is how we rule. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. And as a result of man's dominion and rulership over this world, we have done unbelievable things that God has given to us to bless us. I mean, think about it. We have arts, culture, neighborhoods, roads, sports. You know, my images are sports, right? I enjoy sports. I mean, all the different types of sports that we get to enjoy. Hiking. I mean, God has blessed and we image him as we do these things. Verses 7 and 8, David gets specific to even down to the level of life. It says, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. From the most domesticated animals all the way to the most large animals of the sea and everything in between, we're called to rule over. You know, I was at the Hatchett's farm. You know, we went there for the picnic and you know, so I'm a city boy. And so when I go to the farm, I'm asking all kinds of questions. He's telling me about, you know, you got to do this with cows. And this is how, the, you know, you have to, this is the progression. And I look over here and there's a chicken coop. And I look over, you know, there's some bunnies in the cage. And I'm like, oh my goodness. This is awesome. Man, God has given mankind the ability to learn how to do these things. But you know what I didn't notice? Scott wasn't in the pen with the cows, like, managing over him. Right? They had fences up and they were set and they were protected. God, the Hatchetts were serving them, and in serving them, they were reaping the benefit of getting eggs and things like that. And so it's just awesome. He was in charge. We're in charge. We rule through serving. Ladies and gentlemen, we've seen three reasons why we, his people, should praise the majesty of God right along with David. The first was because he made the heavens and the earth. The second, he cares for us. And the third, he gives all of us significant jobs to do. Bottom line, verse 9.
He says, oh, Lord, in light of all that we just went through, oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So I realize that when we leave here today, you all will go down. If you have kids, you'll get your kids, and you may go out and celebrate Father's Day or go eat lunch somewhere or whatever it is that you do on Sunday and carry on. But as we reflect on this, there's a couple things I would encourage you and even myself to do to think about these things. If you have a smartphone, maybe you set in some daily reminders to just stop and pause whatever you're doing and praise Him. Praise Him. Maybe you don't use a smartphone, but you can take a sticky note, put it on your steering wheel in your car when you're going to work. Just, I'm driving a car going to work. Praise Him. Or at your desk, if you work in a cubicle or something like that, you post a little sticky note right there. Pause to praise God for all the things that we just talked about. Something, whatever it takes, just to continually remind us all that no matter what we're doing, let us continually praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, you are indeed good. We say with David, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Father, I pray that your Spirit would open our hearts to see more clearly and to enjoy more fully and to praise you all the more for how you are with us. The high and mighty God, creator of the universe, comes to us, cares for us, gives us stuff to do to rule over your creation. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness and grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.